Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship you and break bread and remember Jesus and to sing even that lovely song, Then I Praise the Name. Thank you for the beautiful words, speaking of your son's death and his reign and his return. What a beautiful line that is. One day our gaze will be fixed on Jesus when we see him coming in the clouds, or otherwise it will be we go to be with him. Because we pass away before his return, but we go to be with your son. Lord, thank you for these wonderful words we can sing. We just ask now that you would bless our time as we look at your wonderful word. Thank you that this word we have is no ordinary word. I'm just so glad that you have communicated to us. You've revealed great truths to us, and help us to respect and revere what we have here and to come under your truth, your authority. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Wednesday, I know most people in the world will remember last Wednesday being Halloween, because it's 31st of October. And I've got to say that, it's a current trend that's really taken off, hasn't it? In my day, it didn't even exist. But, getting a bit on. But that's right. But nowadays, especially with, I think, American influence upon our society and retail industry wanting to make a quick buck. And not only that, with the decline of Christianity, there has been a rise of things like this. I want you to be aware of that. As the world plunges more into darkness, we will see the rise of dark things. So I'm pretty making it pretty clear, Halloween is on the dark side. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to be aware of the state of our society. You know what we should be celebrating on October 31st? I think many of you will know this. And that is another event that is about light, about gospel light. And it's called the Reformation. That's what we should be remembering on October the 31st. Because 501 years ago, might be a long time ago now, on October 31st, 1517, a Catholic monk, he didn't mean to start it. It's amazing what God does. He put up 95 protests in regard to ill practices in the church during that time he was living. And God used that event to do an amazing work, to reform the church and to awaken the world to the gospel. It's like God relaunched the gospel on the Reformation Day, because it had been lost and buried by what? By us. Human tradition, human rules, church rituals had buried the gospel. And so what the Reformation is so wonderful, it's all about the gospel coming alive again and having huge impact on the church and having huge impact in Europe, but also throughout the world. And I have thought about this. If the Reformation hadn't occurred, I know God is sovereign, but I reckon there would be a good chance that I wouldn't be a Christian. And many of you. And I say that because I just realised how important the Reformation was in allowing the gospel to come to light. And just imagine for a moment, if you didn't hear the gospel, do you understand that? You'd still be lost. You'd still be without hope and without God in this world. You would still be in that place of ignorance, not realising that you were heading for judgment in hell, not comprehending the love of Christ and what God has done to save you. How precious it is to hear the gospel and to have it proclaimed throughout the whole world. To give opportunity to people. You come freely, but at least people have an opportunity to hear and to respond. And just a brief thought. Why is it that people celebrate Halloween rather than the Reformation? Well, I reckon John 3:19 has something to say about that. I know we love John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But in John 3:19 it says, and this is a judgment, that the light is coming to the world, that's Jesus. But people love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. So why would a society like ours go towards Halloween rather than Reformation? Because we're in darkness, and we don't like the light. And therefore we headed down wrong roads. And we would be going down those same wrong roads were it not for God shining his light in our darkness. Praise God for that. There's one particular verse I love when it comes to this. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. There's no accident in coming to be a Christian. It's God who does this amazing work. I was in darkness and God has shone his light into my heart that I might see something that I hadn't seen before. What is it? It's centered around Jesus. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God wants me to see Jesus. He wants me to see his Son. And when he comes into our life, he is the light of the world. And the darkness gets kicked out. Praise the Lord. What do you reckon? But let's pray for our society. Let's pray that, don't condemn our society. Pray for our society. Pray that God's light will shine in our society and scatter the darkness, scatter the Halloween, scatter all that, that we might be hearing about Jesus instead. So do that. Now, just can't help but remind you all of the Reformation. And, you know, for me, the Reformation is a fantastic event. And I want you to be reminded of the five solas. Remember the five solas? Sola is Latin for alone. There's five big alone statements. They are Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and glory to God alone. So there are five of them. And they came out of the Reformation. And put all together, especially when it comes to our salvation, being made right with God, we have these great truths, that our salvation is according to Scripture alone, not according to what people think and their ideas. And it is Christ alone who saves. Absolutely. There is no other. Christ alone saves. And our salvation is by grace alone, because we don't get saved by works, and we're saved by faith in Christ, faith alone in Christ. And at the end of the day, it's all glory to God alone. Why is that? Because he's the one who has sent his Son to save us. He's the one who draws us to Jesus. Glory to God alone. And those five great declarations are really great, I reckon. Good to remember. Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and glory to God alone. Now I'll test you out. No, that's okay. All right. But you know, this morning, the thing that really captured my attention from my own reading of the Reformation, I love reading church history, is even though all that is fantastic, those alones, I love how in the Reformation something else happened that was extraordinary, it was wonderful, it was so practical. And many Christians don't actually realize this. Many Christians don't. Maybe some of you don't realize this. But when the Reformation occurred, something extraordinary happened in the church. Do you know what it was? It was where the people began to sing. They began to sing. And you might go, what? What were they doing before that? Well, before that, church really had become a place, ritualistic. So you would come to church and priests would minister to you, you know, with incense and saying things, and you have to do all these different rituals. I don't want to put it down, but that's what really was happening. And in terms of the singing in church, the only people who were singing, they weren't even really singing much, it was chanting, were the priest. He would chant, and maybe some selected people in his ordained choir, they might chant, and they were also chanting in the language of Latin. Did the people understand Latin? No. That's what's going on. Can you imagine that? All right? Like, this is amazing, isn't it? That's what was going on. People were not singing at all. It's hard to believe. So being in church was pretty passive, because when you sing, you participate. And you'd hear in a different language things about God. But when God brought about the Reformation, he broke this practice. And I can't help but realize this was not just Martin Luther being a rebel in church, right? This was God. He must have been so frustrated. He was so happy when the people began to sing. And Martin Luther, he started encouraging the people to sing. He even brought musical instruments into the church. Wow. That was really full on then. And not only that, but he started writing songs in the language of the people. One of them is, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It was in German, so the people could sing in their own language. And I laugh about this one, not only that, but Martin Luther, he realized that the people couldn't sing very well, so he had singing lessons during the week. Because he wanted the people to sing well. I love it. Just love it. And I just imagine God with a big smile on his face in heaven as he heard his people sing. Singing salvations to the Lord, salvation songs to the Lord. What an incredible thing. You know, we just take it for granted that we sing. It's good to know where we've come from and praise God for things that have happened that have enabled his people to be free and to be able to sing. I love that phrase, let the people sing. That's come from heaven. Let the people sing. Let the people sing. And how we should want to sing. So what I want to talk about this morning is about this whole thing about us singing. That's what the sermon's going to be about. We're going to look on how it is a great thing to sing. Have you ever thought of this? We have a speaking voice and we have a singing voice. God has made us with a singing voice. Wow, this is going right back to basics. Why? Because he wants us to sing. And especially if we are the Lord's, he wants us to use our voice to sing his praise. I even think about this in church. We have musical instruments and they're great. If you read the Psalms, you'll get a picture of how we should have an orchestra here, really. Praise and God, they're only an accompaniment. What's the most important instrument of them all? It's the human voice. I loved how we sang Crown and with many crowns, all on our own, making music to the Lord with our human voice. It's the most beautiful instrument of all. God has made us with a singing voice. I know some of us might say we can't sing, but it doesn't matter because together we sound great. We're to sing. Sing to the Lord. So I'm going to try and do this morning. I'm going to try and cover a bit of the Bible. We'll get to Ephesians 5. I want us to see this singing in the Bible that began to grow and grow. Look into the Old Testament, move into the New Testament, and finish in Revelation somewhere. Rightio, when do you read about singing in the first instance? It's not in Genesis. It's in Exodus. That's it, crossing the Red Sea. So what happened is we have this amazing story where God's people of old, the Israelites, remember the story? They're in Egypt. And in Egypt, they are being oppressed and afflicted. They are slaves, being beaten and whipped, aren't they? You know the story? And they cry out to God, and God hears them, and he rescues them with a mighty deliverance, with signs and wonders. And the final thing is where they cross through the Red Sea. I love this, you know. A wall of water there, and they're walking through on dry ground, through the Red Sea, and to be delivered from the Egyptians. And they get across, and the Egyptians attempt to go across, and the wall of water collapses and falls on them, and they drown. And the people on the other side, the Israelites, how do you think they feel? Better than the Eagles winning the grand final, I tell you. They were so happy. They were delighted. And they began to sing. They began to sing, exactly. And so in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we read, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. And this is what they sang. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, that's to do with the Egyptians, he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. You see them singing? Why are they singing? They are singing because they are filled with joy. They're filled with joy because of God. Because of God's love for his people and what he's done for them. They cannot help but sing. You even read about Miriam, who also sings and plays tambourines to the Lord in the next chapter. I love that. Do you love that? Look at that. They just sing. Okay, so as our time goes on, you see from time to time, when God especially has done a fantastic thing for his people, they just burst out singing. Isn't that great? And of course, the great crescendo in the Old Testament is when David comes on the scene. And you should know David. David is this man who, he loves music. He loves playing the harp and he loves singing. He loves singing to God. And he also loves composing songs to God. And so in the day of David, we have a real increase in singing. I'm going to read to you from 2 Samuel chapter 22. And it says here in verses 1 to 4. And David spoke the words of this song, so there it is, it's a song, to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and don't forget, it's a song. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Saviour, who saves me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He's singing. He's singing praise to God because of what God had done for him in rescuing him from all his enemies. What do you think of that? Singing. It's meant to be a part of us. And let me say that. God's people are meant to be a singing people. And through the Old Testament, it's building and building. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1, David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And we know that David ended up writing many of the psalms that are in the book of Psalms. And I know we call it Psalms, and many people probably look at the book of Psalms as poetry, but you know what it really is? It's the songbook. It's our first songbook. They were written to be sung. And David was one of the main composers of that songbook. The Psalms are to be sung. That's how it was. Like the one we sang in song from Psalm 96. We sang it this morning at the beginning of the service. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. That was a song written to glorify God, to get the people to sing to the Lord. And by the way, not only did David write lots of psalms to be sung, but he organized the Levites to actually sing. This was something that God put upon his heart. Not only did God put upon David's heart to build a temple or to plan for the building of a temple for God where he would be worshipped and honored, but God used David to start up singing in the temple. And so the Levites were charged to sing and to play musical instruments. And you have a great section in the Bible where that happens. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 7 to 12. And it says, then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deed among the people. Sing to him. There it is. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. Well, you know, you could just keep going. Do you get what it's saying there? God's people have been saved by God. God created them with a singing voice. What are God's people meant to be doing with their voice? Singing. We are a singing people. In fact, it's really amazing, isn't it? Of all the people in the world, the people I know who sing the most are Christians. Because we've understood who we are before God, what God has done for us. And we want to sing him praise. So when we come to the New Testament, are God's people meant to sing? Better get this answer right. Obviously. I don't know what was going on before the Reformation. For a good period of time, Christians did sing and then somehow got all lost. So somehow things went really bad before the Reformation. But when the Reformation came, singing started again. And when I look at my New Testament, I can't help but see singing in the New Testament. For example, do you know, after Jesus broke bread and had the cup with his disciples during the Last Supper, it says in Matthew 26, verse 30, that Jesus and his disciples, after singing a hymn, went out to the Mount of Olives. They sang. Jesus and his disciples sang. Wow, we don't know what they sang. I'd love to know that. Maybe Psalm 53, Isaiah 53 or Psalm 22. We don't know. But they sang. And then you see singing mentioned from time to time, like singing in dire circumstances. I turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And I read of Paul and Silas praying and singing hymns of praise to God with the other prisoners listening on. Because they've just been beaten and they're in the lowest part of the jail and they're singing. Look at that. Singing praises to God. And when I think about why, as a Christian, we should sing, I can't help but think of how we have been blessed with God's Spirit. And God's Spirit has filled us with light. We get to see who God really is and what He's done for us in Christ. And one of the wonderful parts of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. And singing and joy go together. How does it go? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There it is. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if the Holy Spirit is in us, then we ought to have joy, and joy should lead to singing. God's people should be singing. We should love to sing. You should be singing in church. You should be singing when you're at home. You should learn to sing more than you do. Sing. Sing under the shower. Sounds great. Sing. Sing to the Lord. We have so much to sing for. You've got to remember what we read in the Psalms is wonderful, but there's even so much more that we have to sing about because of what the Lord has done for us through His Son. But now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want us to particularly look at some of the verses there. Not only are we to sing, you know, we see it already in through the New Testament, but we are instructed how to sing. I want to look especially at verses 18 to 20. And it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." So there's instruction about singing. And it's interesting that singing comes in after the mention of the Spirit. So it says, don't get drunk with wine. So another way to put it is don't be filled with alcoholic spirits. And I know that I remember when I was young in Albany and I heard these guys going down the street singing. And they were singing, I think it was called Roll Out the Barrel. And I had no idea about that. But Mum said to me about they're very bad men. They're drunk and they're singing. You know, and I thought, oh, wow, look at them. They're singing. Drunks are singing. And the illustration given here is that don't be like those people who are controlled by a wrong spirit, an alcoholic spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And isn't it interesting? When the Holy Spirit fills you, you sing. You sing to the Lord. And that's why then verse 19 goes on to speak about that. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And I know we sing to the Lord, but isn't it interesting in verse 19, we're not just singing to the Lord, we're singing to each other. What we're doing is we're encouraging each other in our faith, in our hope. We sing to the Lord and we're singing to each other. It's beautiful. And look at the selection we have to sing from. It's got their psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't know, it's not quite right, but I love to view that as, wow, you're singing ancient things like the Psalms. 3,000 years ago they were written, some of them. And then we're singing hymns. You know, we think of hymns as the old hymns. They are from the revival days of the 18th century, like "And Can It Be" and all that. Or "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" from the 1500s. And then I sort of look at spiritual songs as the modern ones. You know, that's our day. But what we have is, I hope you realize this, we have a great Christian heritage. We're meant to embrace the whole lot. What are we doing just sticking with the really old or sticking with just the really new? We're meant to embrace the whole lot. It says singing together psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's how it's meant to be. I'm glad in our church we have old and new. We've had old and new today. And it's good to have the whole lot together. Can't sing them all in one day. But anyway, we'll do our best and sing in a few. And it's so good to sing. But you know what? The most important thing about singing is what it says next. Whether it's an old or a new song, we're to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Singing is not just words coming from our lips. Singing is not just going through the motions. How many of us? I've been caught like this too. You're just singing songs without thinking about it. That's not how we're meant to sing. We're meant to be singing because our hearts have been touched by God. Singing is highly emotive. We sing because we love God, and His love has touched our hearts. The love of Jesus has touched our heart, and we sing. That's why the songs we sing, we're trying to pick songs that have beautiful words that describe to us who our God is and what He's done for us, so that our hearts might be awakened and our hearts might rise and want to sing to the Lord rather than just empty words coming from our lips. That's how God wants His people to sing, to make melody in your hearts to the Lord. How many of us are guilty of not singing like that? And when that's happening, pray straight away. Ask the Lord to forgive you and to help His Spirit to move in you, that you might sing with all your heart. That's what God longs for. And also it goes on to say in verse 20 something else about singing. And it says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. In our singing, there should be a lot of thanksgiving. There should be a lot of praising and thanking God for what He's done for His people. Like it says in that hymn, to God be the glory, great things He has done. That should fill our songs, an attitude of thanksgiving to God. What do you think of all this? Pretty good, isn't it? Rightio, there's another great verse I'd like to look at from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. There's one verse there that speaks about singing. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And here the Apostle Paul brings out that singing is connected to the word of Christ. And that's really important. Our singing is to be connected to Christ's word, to truth, to revelation, to the Bible, to what God has declared through His Son and through His people. And that's important. We need to make sure that what we sing is according to the truth. You see, we don't make it up about who God is. It's in the Word. And we are to sing His Word to Him. The best songs we have will be songs that are connected strongly to the Word of God. We are to declare His truth as we sing. And when I think of Colossians 3:16, a strong emphasis upon truth being sung, and Ephesians chapter 5, a strong emphasis on the Spirit, that we sing because of the Spirit. Didn't Jesus say something about that? He sure did. Remember to the woman at the well. He said to her, but an hour is coming in John 4, 23 and 24. An hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. That's a really important teaching from Jesus. We are to worship God, we are to sing to God through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and according to the truth that God has revealed to us. That's how we're to sing. Well, we have instruction in the New Testament about singing. But I love moving through the New Testament, and I see some other. I want to bring out two intriguing verses. In Romans 15, verse 9, we read these words concerning Jesus. These words are about Jesus. And it says in Romans 15, verse 9, therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Who's the you and you're there? God the Father. Who is the one singing? Jesus. Jesus is singing. What? Hebrews 2 verse 12. What about that one? Hebrews 2 verse 12. Again, Jesus is speaking. I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. I don't think I've heard a sermon preached on that before. Jesus is singing amongst us to God the Father. You see, Jesus points us to the Father That's why we pray to the Father. We're meant to have songs of worship to the Father. And Jesus wants to join us in singing songs of praise to the Father, the glorious Father. Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? When you come across verses like that, I get sort of knocked. Oh, whoa. Never seen that before. Fantastic. What this is amazing. But I need to hurry up because otherwise I'll keep going. I love this whole topic. Worship is such an important thing. And let's go to the last book of the Bible. Here we have the picture of how it's all going to end. Revelation, what a great book it is. Fantastic. You should read it. In Revelation, you have singing. What is so good about Revelation is you find about our great hope, but you see that the people, God's people, are still singing. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 15. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. And it says there, "And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." Oh, by the way, this is now in glory. You're looking into glory, right? In what's to come. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name?" I love seeing that. All these people are praising God in heaven. And not only that, there's a song being sung in heaven that's called the Song of Moses. They're singing an old song in heaven. And it made me start thinking, I wonder what songs will make the grade into heaven. What songs of ours will make it into heaven? I pretty much know, don't you? They're going to be songs that are solid on the truth and they are focused upon God, not us. Songs that speak about the Father and His glorious Son. We're going to be singing, I reckon we'll be singing Amazing Grace in heaven. And Can It Be? All these songs that have made the cut because they're so filled with praise to God. Oh, praise the name. There'll be modern songs too because they're just wonderfully written by God's people. We'll be singing old songs and new songs. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to finish on this one. Revelation 5. I'd love to read 4 and 5. I can't take too long. Revelation 4 is the worship of God the Father. He's seated upon the throne with a glassy sea before him. God's angels are around him and God's people are there. And in Revelation 5, we have Jesus. We see the Lord Jesus. He's called the Lamb because he has been slain for us. And picking up in verse 9, we read these words. "And they sang a new song." See that? They're going to be singing old. They sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals." This is a song to Jesus. "For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Oh, picture it. Picture the people singing, the angels singing. Verse 11. "And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And they were saying," or you could say singing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And now we come to the great crescendo. You can't miss verse 13. And then verse 13 says, "And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." Man, that picture should be in your head. Here is the great crescendo. Here is all creation arising and singing to God the Father and to his Son, the Lord Jesus, together. Singing together and singing to the Father and the Son together. We're going to be singing in heaven. How do you feel about that? Singing. Singing to the Lord. Singing new songs. Singing old songs for God's people. God loves his people to sing. I think we love to sing here too. That's great. So keep it up. Let us sing. Let us be a singing people. Singing brings joy. Singing is because of joy. Singing is very therapeutic. You ever notice that? Feeling a bit down. Stick on a good Christian song. Oh, I feel much better now, Lord. Singing is so good. But of course, the most important thing is we sing to the Lord because of who He is and what He's done. God hasn't just saved us to go to heaven. He saved us to be His people. He loves His people. He's given us a singing voice. God wants His people to sing to Him, to make music from their hearts, and to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to sing His praise. Let us be about that. Well, we're going to sing now. Better sing pretty good. The reason I picked this is because I love the chorus. I know it's based on Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before." What a line. "O my soul, I worship your holy name." You know, it ought to be that we're getting better in our singing. We're singing better and better, more and more from our heart because of what the Lord is doing in our life. So let's stand and sing together 10,000 reasons. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for how we are to be a singing people. As I look at church history, I can't help but be so filled with delight when I read about what happened in the Reformation. Thank you so much that the people began to sing. You must have been so happy to see that. And Lord, help us to sing and to continue to sing all our days, even on our deathbed, to sing your praise. Thank you for who you are. May our joy overflow in songs of worship to you. And our Father, I thank you that it's such a great delight to praise your name and to praise your Son's name together. Thank you for you, the great and wonderful and beautiful and glorious Father. And thank you for your wonderful Son, Jesus. Thank you for his glory and beauty too. He's just like you. And we thank you for what he's done for us, his people. We thank you that he sings amongst us. And we thank you that he intercedes for us and is longing to welcome us into heaven one day. Thank you, Lord. So let us be singing, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.